Welcome to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today, we welcome members of the Bainbridge Prepares team to our last in a several-part series. Today, we'll be talking about emergency medical responders and the community response team. I'd like to welcome Lauren Bast, Executive Director of Bainbridge Prepares.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
Nice to have you. And also Roxanne Korf.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
Roxanne, I believe you're part of the Medical Responders Corps.
Yes, it's the Bainbridge Island Medical Response
team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Called, in short,
Beamers.
Beamers, yeah. Okay. And Andrea Chimey.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good. Nice to have you, Andrea. And you're part of the Beamer group as well?
Nope. I'm the coordinator of the Bainbridge Medical Reserve Corps.
Okay, good. Thank you. And Victor Chang.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And you're the lead for the CERT team.
Yeah, the Bainbridge Island Community Emergency Response Team, or CERT for short.
That I know is another big job in the whole organization.
It keeps us busy.
Lauren, give us an overview of what's going on with this group of pretty incredible folks.
An overview could last anywhere from 30 minutes to 30 days. So the team leads that I have in front of me represent some of our largest teams in the Bainbridge Prepares organization. I'll start with Andrea Chimey's Medical Reserve Corps. So she, along with Dr. David Cowan of Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, and Raj Lakshmi Bias, a nurse with University of Washington, lead the Medical Reserve Corps team. And I believe it's just over around 230.
Yeah, almost 240.
Almost 240 doctors and nurses and other medical professionals. They essentially had been working on establishing that team. David and Andrea had worked on establishing a Medical Reserve Corps on the island for many years, and it came to fruition officially about 4 months or so before the pandemic hit. And so I think, and Andrea, correct me if I'm wrong, but we started with maybe 20 nurses.
Yeah, I think in February we had 30 volunteers right when the pandemic started.
Yeah. And now, as you heard, we are approaching 240 for that team alone.
Wow.
So those are the individuals that have made medical response part of their careers. Doctors, nurses, and so forth.
Let me ask you a question. Why the quick increase like that?
Well, it was quite a recruiting tool to have a pandemic. And we had quite a few medical personnel on the island that we never knew existed.
Oh, really?
Until there was a big hot mess going on. And then they came out of the woodwork. And we had 10 to 20 volunteers a day at some point in the early pandemic. And especially after the vaccines became available, people were very enthusiastic about joining us to help with those.
Ah, great.
Okay. And to clarify, a very small percentage of individuals actually are from around the county, both Kitsap County and King County, that just have been adopted by Bainbridge Island, and we're very grateful for them. So we have a couple doctors and nurses that don't live on the island but still volunteer with us when we need them.
Oh, fabulous. And yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I will. So next up is Roxanne's team, the Bainbridge Island Emergency Medical Response Team, or Beamers. So those are individuals that so I'm actually a member of that team where I don't really have a lot of formal medical training. I did not make it my life purpose to, become a primary care physician or a nurse somewhere. But I was interested as sort of a layperson that there were instances that I had come across in my life where, boy, if I had some level of medical training and medical thinking, I could have really helped in a particular situation. And it could be, coming across, hiking in the woods and you come across somebody with a sprained ankle to, unfortunately, in today's world, a mass casualty event where you may be the first responder, whether or not you like it or not. Or, you know, you may be supplementing first responders that are overwhelmed because of just, you know, the tragedies we're experiencing right now. So that team essentially is, and Roxanne, I'm not sure if you know the numbers.
I do. There are approximately 110 of us.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what we go through is, and we kind of have classes and cohorts, but we go through 2 weeks of intensive medical, what's called wilderness first response training, where, you know, we can't, you know, do heart surgery, anything like that, but we can respond to, you know, emergency situations and traumas when definitive care is over an hour away. Mm-hmm. And so that's the team that Roxanne and her co-leads have been working with and training and doing drills to keep our skills fresh in the event that we do need to supplement, you know, Andrea's team or, you know, the other first responders out there because an event has happened that has overwhelmed the normal response.
On the 2 week training that a person
Yes,
take.
Thanks for asking. There are approximately 80 hours of training, both in class and online. And also, of course, there's an application process. We're very interested in making sure that we background check everyone who wants to be a volunteer. We don't want to fail in that regard because a lot of people want to help but sure. may not have the training. So we want to verify this, and there's a credentialing process. Also, my background is MRC. I came into this, as Andrea mentions, in response to the pandemic. And then I realized that this was bigger than we really had imagined a pandemic could be. And it was very valuable to have a lot of other responders who can supplement our medical reserve corps, and that would be the Beamer team.
Now, if, you know, I've asked this through our series, there, as I was telling Lauren before we started, every time we introduce a new subject, new part of Bainbridge Prepares, I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be the most important thing, you know, going on here. but I always think, okay, somebody's listening to this podcast and they want to say, well, I'd like to check that out more to become possibly involved. What do they do?
Oh, we welcome volunteers because, as you know, I mean, every organization is always growing and then sometimes losing members. So sure. we really do welcome anyone who feels that they are interested to go to the website, bainbridgeprepares.org, and we would like them to look at the different teams mm-hmm. and look down the list of the teams. And there are 21 teams, so they can look at the one that most closely approximates their interests and their abilities.
Or they can join more than one, I would say. Like yes. you and also Victor and also Lauren. Everyone's on multiple teams on this table here.
Yeah.
Well, on the teams like that, say it takes 2 weeks for going through before you get on the team or become part of the training group. You apply and you're credentialed and so forth.
Yes, we offer the courses generally spring and fall, and there's a certification every 2 years. You need to keep up your skills. And
sure.
And I work with Victor and my co-chairs. There are three of us who are co-chairs for my team because it's a big group. And we do recertification and refreshing. Mm-hmm. So once you're trained, there's a lot of work in keeping up your skills. And we're very interested to continue that. Also, may I just add that people who are Beamers also participate in the many events that happen on Bainbridge Island throughout the summer and the year, as do the MRC, as do the CERT. We can all volunteer for events and continue to hone our team skills. It's so important that we all know each other and we know each other's names. Working with Andrea and Victor, I've gotten to know so many people on the island, and it just keeps getting better. I really, really love having joined this team, I have to say.
Well, Victor, tell us a little bit about the CERT team, what it is, and I know it's a big endeavor. Tell us.
Yeah, so the Community Emergency Response Team It's actually a nationwide program that's implemented locally. There's about 600,000 certs in the United States. And it was originally started out of Los Angeles County. There was an effort to prepare the state of California for a massive earthquake. And all the research indicated that in a major disaster, professional first responders, paramedics, EMTs, firefighters, would be overwhelmed within a matter of minutes. And if you look at history, in most disasters, it's neighbors helping neighbors. But if you also look at injuries, it's a lot of neighbors helping neighbors getting injured in the process. So the CERT program was developed originally by FEMA at the federal level, and there's a whole bunch of us, including here on Bainbridge Island. Our focus is mainly on what we consider light search and rescue, indoor search and rescue. So imagine after an earthquake, a refrigerator falls down, someone's trapped underneath that, having the skills to extricate somebody out of that situation, and then also providing first aid skills for people in that situation.
Now, how often do you give CERT training?
We do it typically twice a year in normal years. lately, we've been sort of rolling into a sort of a year-round type of program where people can train online for their initial training, and then they certify with in-person skills twice a year.
Now, if a person is interested in learning more about this, this is another opportunity where they go to the website.
Yeah, so go to BainbridgePreparers.org and look under the CERT team. You can also look, I just Google CERT and get all the FEMA sort of general generic information about how the CERT program works overall. But for Bainbridge Island specific, BainbridgePreparers.org is the best place to get information about that.
So you're the lead for the CERT team. So what does your work schedule look like? I mean, what does that mean?
I would say it's mostly a combination of administrative, keeping things in order, notifying people when training occurs. Managing training, both introducing new people to the CERT program, so sort of the initial training, as well as doing ongoing training with other members of the Bainbridge Preparers community.
So are there training opportunities fairly often now, the way you've kind of have organized?
Yeah, at this point, we're fortunate we've revamped the program, so anybody can start at any time during the year. And then we'll do the in-person part at very scheduled times twice a year.
Can I tell you a little bit more about
please.
The MRC? Okay.
Yes, please do.
So because Victor was saying all these cool stats, so I had to look them up really quick. but the Medical Reserve Corps, which was founded and started after the 9/11 attacks, now has about 800 units in the United States. They were founded because of the massive spontaneous responder response from healthcare workers in New York City who just showed up at hospitals wanting to help. And we realized, you know, we have this vast resource of knowledge and skill in the U.S. And if there's a disaster of any kind, it would be nice to know the people who are coming before they show up and we don't know who they are. You know, it's to pre-certify them and get them all pre-approved to be volunteers with us. So our unit, which was started thinking about earthquakes and tsunamis and things like that, things we could help with medically, as I mentioned, had a great recruiting tool in the very unfortunate pandemic. And we did not have any idea how many medical providers lived on the island until this happened. And I think right now there are probably people listening to this who don't know that we're here. So again, like everyone else, I recommend that they go to the BainbridgePreparers.org website because we'd be happy to welcome them.
So if Andrea is going to drop numbers and stats, I'll drop numbers as well. So we've talked about all the teams, Victor's team, Andrea's team, combined of all our teams. Again, we have you've interviewed many of them, if not all of them. We have about 30. Our volunteers put in about 38,000 total hours in 2021, and and I think that's a testament to each of these individuals here that makes it. You know, when you think about emergency preparedness, certain stereotypes exist where, you know, go hide in your bunker, shoo your neighbors away because they're going to get your food or whatever. And I think those numbers, the numbers that you know, each of these individuals have quoted in the 38,000, volunteer hours that I gave is a testament to how much we enjoy each other. And some people, like, they get mad if we have too many volunteers at a certain event and they can't also volunteer because it's just too crowded.
No, it used to be competitive. Like, people would stalk the website for signups during the vaccine clinics, and as soon as you posted, they would all immediately. It would be full, and everyone would be grumpy.
Yep. And, you know, and we were probably most well-known for our vaccine clinics, but as, again, each of these individuals has indicated, we had many events, medical, non-medical events. You know, we have a couple of exercises coming up for, you know, where we're going to be out on the water, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we need volunteers for that. And again, everybody, in my opinion, and this is why I do what I do, they volunteer, they come away with friendships, they come away with skills. They, you know, and when needed, they're able to help, you know, their neighbors, their community, you know, because of what we've all built the last, you know, few years.
What a great overview, Lauren. As you were talking, I keep thinking about Map Your Neighborhood, which is just a basic thing all of you out there that are listening got to do. Get with it right now. Yes.
Well, so while you mentioned that, I'm not sure if you've chatted with the Map Your Neighborhood team, but I'll do a quick plug on that. So Map Your Neighborhood, as Bob mentioned, is really I'll shortcut the explainer on that to say throw a party for your neighbors, and so many of us live in neighborhoods where, you know, we recognize that family that lives four houses down, but we haven't quite gotten to know, like, what their first names and all that. And, you know, what better way to kind of show neighborhood camaraderie than just to throw a party, and, you know, maybe make the topic a little bit about emergency preparedness, but, you know, you're having wine, having cheese and grapes and all that. Get to know them a little bit so that you start to rely on each other. Yeah. You know, in big emergencies or small, you know, it could be that someone is stuck on the other side and on a ferry that's canceled and they need you to check on their, you know, they have a family member that is ill at home or, you know, elderly or whatever. Hey, can you check on my grandmother? 'Cause I'm not going to be able to get home, you know, when I thought I would. And so just those little emergencies that we all have every day.
Absolutely.
Is something that the Map Your Neighborhood program really helps get, you know, create some structure around and get some organization around.
That's so, so important. And it really has helped. I can speak really personally about that. I mean, even this spring when I had my chainsaw tuned up, I think about it as this is the neighborhood chainsaw, not just my chainsaw. So I got to keep it in good shape.
Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
I just want to say that we have a unique island in Scott James' work in this regard. He's written a book, I believe the title is Resilient Neighborhoods.
It's Prepared Neighborhoods.
Prepared Neighborhoods. Yeah. And that is an amazing place to start. And Scott James is a founder of a lot of these concepts, has worked closely with Lauren and Anne Lesage, who is our
City Emergency Management Coordinator,
who's wonderful to work with, by the way. But one of the fantastic elements of living on this island is that this is one of the underpinnings, the guiding philosophy of a lot of the Bainbridge residential experiences, that we have that philosophy as a background coming from Scott James. And he makes that abundantly clear as he brings us into the team. And working with Lauren and Anne has just been just a great experience. I find them to be not only serious, but also very, very entertaining at times. And it's just a great team we have here to work with.
Well, I'm looking at a lot of smiles across the desk here.
And I'll add on to Roxanne's plugs. So, Scott is the Bainbridge Prepares founder. He also wrote a book, as Roxanne mentioned, named Prepared Neighborhoods. But he and his wife, Susan, really conceived of Bainbridge Repairs, I want to say 10 years ago. I think we're all fuzzy on exactly when the date was that they originated it. And it's gone through a couple name changes, which is part of the reason that there's a fuzzy, you know, start date. But it's been around 10 years that we've been around. But I also want to mention we have wonderful relationships as well with our fire department. We are constantly in their fire stations and bugging their fire, you know, their paramedics and their fire chiefs and all that. But hopefully, you know, they see us as an asset as well. I know they do. But we also maintain relationships with so many other organizations, both on the island, in Kitsap County, and as well as other counties, Jefferson, Clallam, Pierce, King County. Again, all shared around, you know, all with the spirit of camaraderie, collaboration, and just as Scott says, you know, we look at emergency preparedness through the lens of love, not fear. That's his motto. And we really kind of embrace that because it's worked. You know, we feel like we are the best prepared neighborhood or town in Washington State, if not the country.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for being here today. Lauren, Andrea, Roxanne, Victor, it's been a great discussion, a good overview. Go to BainbridgePrepares.org, learn about Map Your Neighborhood, and learn about hubs. Hubs are another thing.
And 20 other teams.
And 20 other teams. Okay, well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.